Hi, and welcome to the Chronicles of Ganesi, Curse of the Green Sea. This is a Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition podcast about six adventurers who are trying to prevent the Realm Eater, Amira, from destroying the world. My name is Morgan Mendez, and I play Dara Metallet, a druid cleric of Nerimus. And fun fact for this week about Dara is that they only have one true best friend at the moment, and that is Zelos.
Nice. Hi, I'm Chase Ebling, and I play Estiel de Taurus, a human sorcerer. And my interesting fact is that when he was 5, he was taken from his parents because his former Esmir spirit abilities went haywire and caused a lot of damage.
Is it something Flex Seal could help fix?
I
Oh
don't
my
think so
God.
on this one.
Hello, my name is Jackson Childs, and I play Zhao Jinhai, a ancestral guardian barbarian. My fun fact for this week was with him being secluded in the forest for a while, he's actually accidentally a vegetarian. He's never had to hunt creatures before and therefore has stuck with vegetation, especially with his mother's garden.
Very
Very
nice.
cool.
Hello everybody. My name is Coleman and I play the Mazoku fighter Tiefling. The Mazoku fighter, yeah, you know. Orofarne. His fact for the day is that he actually carries two weapons with him at all times. Weppies.
Two what
Hey,
now?
talking with cough drops in your mouth is a very difficult thing.
Weppies.
He carries two weapons with him at all times. He carries a short sword and a kukri, and they are both named Wolf and Talon, and he forged them himself.
Oh, fantastic. That's really neat.
Hi, I'm Addison Bell, and I play Clushin Trailbreaker, your resident bug boy ranger. Gosh, none of us can talk tonight. Ranger and tracker of the group. And fun fact about Clushin tonight is that he has always used a bow, but there was once that somebody tried to convince him to use a crossbow. It did not go well. He accidentally dry fired it, and the thing flew apart in his hand, and he hasn't touched one since.
That feels like a good reason.
Hi, I'm Avery, and I play as Quill Bernhardt. And my fun fact for him for the night is that the first time that he tried to ride a Stratus Falcon, he fell directly into a wooded forest despite having flying capabilities of his own. Goes to show when you lack proficiency, what it gets you into.
Hi, my name is Marshall Mendez, the dungeon master of this whole charade. It's been fun. It's been a good time. You can tell that none of us have done this in a couple weeks, it feels like, because none of us can talk. My fact for the day is less of a game fact and more of a personal fact. I'm recovering from COVID, and so is Morgan. And that's my cop out because I didn't think of something.
Sell out. Beautiful.
You know it. I'll do it again. Short recap. Last session, the Emerald Order was able to explore the past of Estiel and Orofarne in the Lore Keeper's magical mystery dimension, filled with populated by denizens such as the creepy shadow fuckers that would stand on their hands and try to steal your body if you fought them. So that's fun. But the group managed to, I don't know, work together a bit and find the solution to the final puzzle, as it were. Basically, just wanting to reiterate that the past does not define you, and moving forward together into a new future is the goal. When last we left off, you had exited the Lore Keeper's chamber, ran into a party that was on their way inside, and began debating what your next steps were. Floor is yours.
So if we want me to reset the teleportation here out in the outskirts, it will take some time. I didn't know if we wanted to go back to the city proper and take a load off, digest what just happened.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, definitely we should. Just a moment ago, you invited me to watch how you set up this teleportation thing. So we also talked about how the others would go get supplies while we did that. But if we all just want to take a load off for a bit, that's just fine too.
I still want to explore island, see what it holds and whatnot. So a small rest or something like that. I'm all for it.
Well, Jin, you aren't aware with how long it takes. It takes me approximately 8 hours to set this location, so it's not a short process.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So take a long rest. Plug. I'm flicking my nose. Plug for the Patreon exclusive podcast. The show after the show. A long rest. I forgot to mention before we get too far ahead that Avery will be joining late. So if you don't see Quill for a little bit, that is why.
He's probably flying around doing stuff.
Yeah.
We left him with the shade creatures.
He's probably taking a shit in a bush somewhere.
I was going to say he's looking for a nice bush.
That's right. Aren't we all?
The perfect bush.
This one's too big. This one's too small. This one's just right.
I keep telling him he should try waxing, but...
So do you actually want to set the teleportation circle here on the Lorekeeper's Grove specifically, or does it matter whether it's on the other land or here?
I suppose it doesn't really matter where it's set as long as it's close by. If we have the Stratos Falcons, we could cross the ocean here pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's true. We could. Well, if you want to, we can go ahead and get started on that, or we could go across. This is your thing, so I'm just eager to see it.
DM, approximately what, like, time of day are we looking at? Is it late afternoon?
It's still, I'd say, early-ish afternoon.
Early-ish afternoon. So if they did it now, it'd be definitely evening by the time it's done.
Yes.
Yep. Is it still raining?
It is not raining anymore, no. It is, the skies are still dark and cloudy, but the raindrops have subsided for now.
It's still the same day, right? Like, we haven't jumped, like, a week into the... Well, okay.
That's a good question. Is it the same day?
Yes, it's still the same day.
Well, STL, I'd say it's your decision then, when you want to do your ritual, and then the rest of us will decide what we want to do from there.
Like, out of character, we also have the your previous group, you have met STL, wanting to meet up in the tavern as well.
And I was about to bring up that point that it would be rude to keep them waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the location, they wanted to meet at... I wouldn't say it's a good friend, but an interesting character, to say the least. That's what we want to do, and then we can reconvene. What do you think, Clusion?
I think that sounds like a fine idea. I don't have any commitments other than, you know, just moving forward with the plan. So if we want to set the thing and then move out, then it seems like the quickest course of action.
Is there anything I can do to help you speed it up or assist?
Well, that would be a question for Mr. DM.
Mm-hmm.
With how the thing works
if you... If you would like to try it, I will say, given that that STL, you do feel that some of the magic is enhanced when the others are around you.
Okay.
Interesting.
So does that mean it? Go ahead.
Dara, it's very well worth a try. I'm not sure what changed when the medallion split. I'm going to look for a spot where it's kind of off the beaten path. Not like right next to the temple, but kind of like between, like halfway between it and the, like the tree row.
Sure. Yeah. Easy enough to do. Yeah. This is a well-traveled area. People often have picnics out here. They wander around the grounds. Groundskeepers constantly wandering around, watering the shrubs. Plenty of space for you to do your thing.
Yeah. So I pop a squat in the location I want to do it in, and I grab a hold of the medallion and say, Christoph, I think this is a good place to return to. If you'll help my eyes. And yeah. I start the ritual.
Sure. You, as you begin kind of attuning to the location, the runic sequences of the exact kind of location, latitude and longitude, all of that begin to slowly take root in your mind and then be transferred down into the necklace, and you watch as the runes start forming along the edges. Dara, you're helping?
I like to use enhance ability, but I need to know what I need to enhance outside of character.
Like, so outside of character, there's not much that you need to do. You have a piece of the amulet, and together the amulets are a bit stronger. So your presence alone may be enough to speed it up. But if there's anything you'd like to do for flavor.
Can we say that because of the influence of the other amulets around, that the runes that normally were just mental images that were flashed actually appear on the ground around me?
Sure. Yeah.
That I point out to Dara and say, help me memorize these. It'll make this go a bit quicker.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
You see a kind of faint glowing circle begin to appear around STL, and then about a foot from the outside of that circle, another glowing circle begin to appear, and they're spinning in opposite directions. And you watch as these luminescent, whitish gold kind of runes begin slowly forming, wispy-like at first, but the more he concentrates, the more solidified they seem as they're rotating along the inner axis of the circle.
Cool. Question. We're going to be here 8 hours, and while I'm helping you do this, will we be quote-unquote safe, or do I need to...
As far as... You know, as far as anyone here knows, this is one of the safest places in the Green Sea.
Okay. Just, I'll ask if I need to make a check or something while we're doing that, and I'm going to let someone else fill in. I'm going to go grab a drink. I'll be right back.
As we're heading out of the, as we like headed out of the temple, I make sure to grab my weapon and personal belongings and whatnot.
I assumed that we had all collected our items before we left. Was I wrong?
It's dangerous to assume.
Right?
I've learned that lesson many a time.
So anyway, Coleman, that is the spectacle that Orofarne sees.
Yeah. You said this just teleports your whole group back here, right?
It's not permanent, only lasts for a few top.
Do I need to have one of those necklaces that you've all got on you?
Absolutely mandatory, because I don't think you can get a necklace like that big around my neck. Maybe like a bracelet or something.
I'm also pretty certain that your neck is the widest part of your head. Can you even adorn a necklace? I'm falling off.
I think so. It's like it's almost volcano shit. It's like, lower it goes down, like, I don't know.
Maybe you could just strap it to your shirt, you know?
Just pin it.
Or you could pin it into your fur.
Yeah. It's like a pocket watch.
Like with a bobby pin. We could get you some bobby pins in town. Oh. Strap it right in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's just a name tag, like, hello, my name is Janai. It's a pleasure. If lost, please return here. Fucking dog tag.
It's just some fucking random address in Venubia, and people are like, what the hell?
That's a big dog.
But the point still stands. Do you need a necklace for it to work?
The effect was bestowed on to me by Christoph himself. I'm not sure what these necklaces are capable of now that they've split, and I'm not quite under the understanding on how that works to begin with. I need to spend some time with it once more and figure out the nuances again.
We haven't used this part of it since they split either.
We haven't used them, period.
Well, Jin, looks it'd like if we get into a bit of a pickle, then if they fuck out of there, it might just be you and me for all we know. Fuck. All right. Well, good.
I know I can take people with me as long as they're within a certain range and willing.
Oh, good. That's great. Good to hear.
Only to a certain... Ah, shit. As he forgets one of the symbols and takes a little longer.
How many people in the party are staying with STL while the circle is drawn? Okay, so Orfarne and Dara.
Yes.
I thought we needed somebody to go get supplies, so I was going to go.
I was going to go as well. To also look
That's
to
fine. City as well.
That's a dangerous question.
Okay, that is fine. So Dara and Orfarne will stay behind. I'll say Quill is staying behind as well, since he's not here. That way it's just easy, just standing. So, STL, with Quill and Dara nearby, you feel like this process is speeding up.
Okay.
With the two of them and yourself, it will no longer, if three of you are there, it will no longer take 8 hours, but 3.
Okay.
It's a much better deal.
Wow, that's awesome.
Go ahead and note that down.
Yeah. Now, you don't personally know exactly how long it's going to be, but you know it's going to be at least twice as fast.
So all he can perceive is the more people, the faster it set.
Correct. Yes. The more people working in tandem with the same magic, the faster the effect will take place. Those who are leaving, Kushin and Jinhai, to go get supplies. Are you heading back along through the docks and the ferry system back?
Yeah.
I suppose you would have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you have options.
What are our options then? Go through the ferry or just go straight through the woods? Grandmother's house we go?
Can we say before they took off that SDL directed them to go to the Lich on Ice to regroup later.
Sure. In 8 hours.
Yeah, when yeah.
Yeah, because at that point I still thought it was 8 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Let's meet there tonight.
We're gonna have a lot of free time waiting for them.
Yeah. You both are. Both groups are. End up just bumping into each other on Wolaka. Everybody does the Spider-Man meme, points at each other like, ah! Okay, so if you're heading back along the ferry route, the previous ferryman is no longer there. He's departed. In his place, there is a slightly larger ferry that has quite a crowd of people who are leaving the island and heading back to Alaka. You can see many different humanoids, elves. You can see a couple of goblins, a couple of tabaxi. Well, in our world, they're called Koyan, for listeners. You can see one Mazoku as well. And they're all just boarding up right now.
Are we going to fit on that one? Can a boat carry two Mazoku? Do we need a bigger boat?
Oh my god.
My god.
Not that tall.
There's
not
the joke.
My god.
You just see like Orifarne's floating head. I'm not that big. Oh jeez.
That's funny. I mean,
there's room, it looks like, for the two of you.
All right.
Yeah.
Guess we'll squeeze onto this one. Does Mazoku look like he's related to Orifarne?
This Mazoku has a kind of light purplish lavender skin color.
Gotcha.
And they have very small horns that kind of curl up and back down in like a half circular motion. Okay. They
probably
are
can't
dressed...
get any juicy dirt then.
Yeah, probably not. They're dressed pretty much as just a traveler. Kind of just as you are used to seeing these days, people just wearing kind of well-traveled clothing.
What about the Fairy Master? Is he the awesome tour guide we had last time, or is he different?
He is not. In fact, this tour guide is a woman human. This is really weird to say woman human. It's a female human. And she's not doing the whole tour guide-y thing. She looks very bored, and she's just kind of operating the boat.
Gotcha. So, Clusion, so in terms of supplies, what all do we need?
Well, we need things to eat.
Okay. I mean, I have things to eat in my backpack, but they're probably going bad. So, all right, food.
Just, you know, your general traveling supplies.
Right, general needs.
Travels pretty light, so, like, he's not the best one to ask these kind of questions.
You guys are going to get, do we need, like, a salt barrel to, like, preserve stuff? Is that how you guys do it?
We usually forage quite a bit. But, you know, having backup food is handy.
A giant
I'm not really sure exactly what
the
thing. Yeah, and heavy. Barrels of salt, that's a heavy, which is probably less of a concern for, right. But anyways. So, yeah, I don't know exactly what we should find, because we're going to... Didn't we decide we were going to the fighting thing in the desert?
For Ruby. For Nubia.
Yeah, I've never been there. I don't know. What do you need to take to Verubia?
Well...
or what? However you pronounce these words! Everybody's laughing and shaking their heads at me right now.
It's Venubia.
Venubia, that's right. The one.
If we are going to Venubia, then food is definitely a must-have. Water. I don't know what your guys' water situation is. I don't know if you just have water flasks and that's it. Probably want some protective clothing, like rags you can soak in water to keep the heat off you. Maybe shoes, like good, like boot shoes, so that way you're not like scalding your feet on the sands. Now I'm thinking about it, I don't know like anybody's like actual size for clothing. Like I don't know anybody's shoe size. This is gonna be tough. It's weird because you grow up living in an area and like you take all this stuff with you, but like now like trying to think back on it, you're like, oh, do I need to survive out there? I think that's it. Oh, maybe maps. That's it. We might need a few maps. We do plan to head out there. Whether it be with the actual ships or with the flying magic things you have.
Lucia's just like staring at you at this like list that like is so much more than he expected. It's just like, wow, oh, wow, okay. Good thing we got 8 hours then.
Do we have paper? Screw this. And he reaches into his backpack and pulls out like a little stick of chalk and like is trying to write it on his palm so he can remember it.
Oh my.
The lavender kind of light purple skinned Mazuku just kind of turns to look at you and just slowly hands you what looks like an old tattered couple of pages and a piece of charcoal. And she's like, this should suffice. Just kind of awkwardly making eye contact with both of you before turning away.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll kind of like reach out and grabbed it.
Maybe we should have asked her if we missed anything on our list.
Hey, did we miss anything on our list? Have you ever been to Fenubia?
Turns back and she says, yes. My partner and I both have made a trip there once. We found that goggles helped quite a bit when the sandstorms hit. Cloth like bandanas to cover your mouth so that you don't get sand everywhere. Okay. The sand is the worst part. You'll be picking it out of crevices you didn't know you had for months.
Oh, I hate sand.
It's coursing. It's everywhere. As she's saying that, I'm like writing it down. Probably using like the deck of like this ferry. Like help try to write it down on a wood boat.
Yeah, on one of the banisters or something. Just easily, just kind of lean over and get it written out. Yeah. There's what's taking you out to Fenubia?
Oh, I wasn't here when they got the invitation, but apparently. There's a fighting arena in Fenubia. Clusion knows more about it than I do. Clusion.
We were invited to fight in the fighting arena of Fenubia. From what I understand, it's quite well known in these parts. I don't know that we need to really explain it.
She's just like looking back between the both of you, and she says, maybe some rope as well. She's like, are you talking about the Baroka Muda? Yes?
That's the one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my partner and I actually fought in that recently. As I said, we spent some time.
No way. How'd you do?
She kind of just like lifts her hands to look at them and like lowers them and kind of just like checks out her clothes. And she's like, not the greatest. Admittedly, quarterfinals. I thought that was pretty good.
It's better than last, for sure.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is.
Yeah. So, you said quarterfinals. I imagine you against other teams of sorts?
There are many different kinds of legs in this tournament. You can fight singly, you can fight in groups, duos, you can fight in groups of six, in groups of eight. It's an interesting thing. Then they have a free-for-all as well, where you fight any and everyone. They have many different challenges, whether that be fighting against other teams, of course, non-lethally, or fighting against monsters and dark creatures.
So did you fight against other teams or beasts and such?
It's kind of like looks uncomfortable for a moment. And she says, we fought against beasts. And so you're just like lightly massaging her left bicep as she says it. It's almost, it's a strange look about her as she's saying it, like something that you can't quite place with your passive, but something that almost looks painful.
Well, I'm prying too much, if I may ask this, were they, like, exotic? Or are they more accustomed to the lands of Venubia?
Many of them are native to Venubia, though some are imported, captured by the various monster hunting guilds, if you can call them that these days. And, well, the deeper into the tournament you go, the stronger and larger the monsters tend to get. There's always some twist in the fight.
Be fair and unfair, I'm guessing.
Just kind of tilts her head slightly back and forth, and she's thinking and goes, well, we fought a griffin, and 4 sand wolves were unleashed partway through the fight. So that was unexpected and turned the tide, and honestly, I think that's what knocked us out. We were holding our own decently, me and the other 3, but she just kind of like looks far away into the ocean as the boat's still going through.
Is that commonplace for them to, you know, try to spice up the fight, I guess, is probably the way they would phrase it.
Well, she like crosses her arms and you can see with her rolled up sleeves, just deep scars along her forearms as she like moves her arms in front of you as she crosses them. It's like, well, you have to keep in mind that first and foremost, it's an entertainment thing. And what's more entertaining than twists and turns on novel concepts? And just when people think that they're in the clear, new foes appear.
Sick rhyme, by the way.
Thank you. It's not just enemies either, though. There are obstacles that tend to emerge mid-fight. When my partner was helping finish off one of the sand wolves in our last round, the large rotating beams with metal spikes rose from the floor of the Colosseum, adding just another layer of make one wrong step and you're screwed.
So what are you doing all the way out here in the grove? Well, I guess heading away from the grove.
Seeking information, as all these other pilgrims do. Trying to find answers for some of the things that are heavy in my heart.
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you found what you were looking for.
And it looks at you, then looks at Clushin, and then just again stares off in the distance and kind of wistfully says, as the island begins approaching, wistfully says, I'm not sure that we ever do. I think some things are meant to stay lost. You hear the fairy woman kind of pulling the ship around, and she kind of yells out over the ship and goes, minute or two left on our trip. Gather your belongings. Get ready. Departure soon. Nah, we can't wait to be done. Let's go. Let's go, people. She looks thoroughly bored.
Go ahead.
As we're approaching kind of like the end of the trip, I want to say one last thing to her. Whatever is potentially plaguing your heart, I am sorry. But even though some people, like you said, may be destined to be lost, certainly not meant to be forgotten. Maybe one day you'll find them.
Her eyes are very sad, and her mouth kind of twists into like a soft grimace almost, as she just like puts a hand on your arm and just nods slowly and says, "Thank you. I think I needed to hear that."
I think we all do at some point.
She kind of, as the boat begins to stop, she kind of gathers her things and looks at the both of you and says, "Safe travels to the both of you, and if you attempt the Baroka Muda, make sure that you're prepared. It can tear apart so many people, so many groups, so many ideals and values torn asunder at the Baroka Muda for the entertainment of thousands. Just be careful.
Thank you.
And get those goggles." She kind of smiles and steps off the ship.
God, now I have to think about eye sizes. Klushin, how big are your eyes? I open up his eyelids just to try to see how big they are.
He just like kind of swats your hand away. He's like, "I think that if they fit on me, they'll probably fit on most of us."
All right, that's good to know. Does Ara need goggles? Is it her eyes already goggles? Oh, we'll figure it out. And at least I'll start walking towards the village, town, whatever.
Sure. Going back to the other group, Quill, you are currently stood around Dara and Orifarne and Estiel as these white gold-like circles are rotating in opposite directions around Estiel's feet, and runes are kind of floating and coalescing into different shapes and different signatures of runes, and then floating apart and reforming in different patterns as Estiel is casting his spell. It seems like it's not going to take as long as it normally does. It seems like it's going to be a much shorter rendition of the spell.
And you've seen, or at least understand, when he's cast the teleport recall in the past, there was no visual aspect to it before now.
There's no audio, bud.
Do we got broken or just muted?
Okay, we're doing it on
visual. So why is it that the cosmetic value is added upon your stature here?
I think it has something to do with these new medallions.
Flashy.
I need to spend some time investigating them further to see what changed.
Well, let us head forth. And do we need to regroup with the others to take the boat now, or you're trying to cast something to take us somewhere?
This is so if shit goes south and we need to get back here in a hurry, we can. I believe Klushin and Jinhai were going to track down some goods and supplies for our journey ahead. And, well, I told them to meet us at the Lich on Ice tonight, but I don't think this is going to take nearly that long.
Very well. Well, Orifarne, you have decided to follow us to the Baroka Muda. Am I incorrect in saying that?
You were incorrect in the pronunciation of my name. You forgot the R in Orofarne, but...
I just met you a day. Okay.
In your overall statement, yes, you are correct.
You see, this is why you should have let me call you Ash. Mountain Ash. It's a little less...
That is his name.
It's Elvish, so, you know, I prefer that one better. Rolls off the tongue a bit nicer, you know? Were you going somewhere with that question, or was that it?
I just wanted to make sure that you were coming along. Hell, I thought I might have liked you, but now, of course, all these pronunciations and everything, I might not be good enough for you, you see. So, maybe you should lead from now on. What do you think?
I mean, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
It's okay. Yeah, it's tossing, fine. It's fine.
Tossing banter.
Don't worry about it.
I lean over to Dara and I say, is he always this touchy?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, he literally was fucking with people's lives and gods in the caves in that shadow realm. And now he's upset that I corrected him and mispronouncing my name.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm just busting your ovaries. Don't worry about it.
Oh my god.
I've never heard that one. That's nice.
Yeah, he's just messing with you.
Oh, good. Probably on a little thin ice, because you guys probably don't really know what to expect when it comes to me or Jin Hai, and so I'm sure just treading carefully, making sure tensions are probably don't want to be too high, you know.
No. Well, of course, I like to test people when it comes to their sense of humor and personality. We might be spending a long time with each other, especially on these long and traveled roads or, the air bikes, I might call it. I'm not so much of a fan, but are you a proficient rider?
Well, I got one to work and I flew here just fine, without any issue, yeah. Maybe not proficient, but able to not fall off.
Huh. That's good. I fell off my first time.
Oh, I fell off too. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
It was really bad.
If it makes you feel any better, I have wings and I fell off, so.
Oh, well, I'd say that's a good thing that you fell off with wings then, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Well, that makes me a little concerned when I use mine.
You'll be fine. You're a very smart man. Or is it charismatic?
Just depends on the day.
Ah.
Polymorph.
Depends on the drink.
Polymorph if you fall.
What if I forget that one? Then what?
Then when you first try, I will be there below to try to catch you, I guess. Sure, I'm strong enough to try to catch you, but just don't go too high like I did.
Yeah, well. See, this is the teamwork that I think the Lorekeeper was trying to teach you all. You catch him, he falls, you fall, you catch yourself. You know, it's just good. This is good.
I think the teamwork we also have been working on is what we just did right now. These medallions have not only shortened the time from 8 hours to 3 hours and gives us a proper teleportation back to safety in case something goes to shit in Venubia. I think it's quite nice. Gives us a real backup plan.
The bantering that we do for that 3 hours while he's casting and everything. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff we talk about.
And but, I'd like to think that every time it hits like a really funny point, it adds about 5 minutes to the overall time.
Yeah. Concentration just lightly broken.
Yeah.
Every now and again, you see the runes begin to glow a little bit brighter as they lock into place.
So I guess once he's done with that spell, DM, I suppose we're just going to move on to meet the others. Right, guys? Sweet. So, yeah, that's what we'll be doing once his gets finished.
We'll just do it this way. The time kind of flies by with a lot of banter and some natural quietude and then more banter. The runes slowly kind of, again, rotating around this circle in different directions, slowly form together and lock into place and glow a little bit brighter. And then finally you watch as the last two runes slide into place, lock, the entire circle glows brightly, and then fades away into nothing. And you know, SCL, that the spell has successfully been cast.
I think that's a new record. Well,
go ahead.
Is this just like a big room you cast it in, or just somewhere kind of off the side?
Kind of like out in the gardens ish outside. I specifically asked the Lorekeeper if they wanted the spell placed outside, and he said yes.
Makes things easier.
Yeah. Because, you know, overlapping gods in a temple, probably not a good idea.
Not just that, but also the logistic of carrying more weapons into the temple when you warp back.
That is true. That is true.
Surprised the garden is not part of the temple for, like, the weapon rule and all that. People will come in with, like, scimitars and shit and start cutting the place apart.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. If they tried that, they may be met with some warrior monks.
Monks.
I kind of want to see that happen.
Some like badass gardeners come out.
No, not me. Watch it happen to somebody else.
You ever heard of a giant green thumb? Meet my green fist.
You're about to have a green thumb in your ass. He's got like giant garden shears connected to nunchucks. He's just spinning them around.
Oh, that'd be so scary.
That'd be amazing, and that needs to be canon now.
It'd be great.
Some crazy NPC down the line, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually Chase's character for campaign 2.
Ah, you stole it before like 3 seconds before I was going to say that shit.
Perfect.
Well, Coleman, our character idea may need to scrap it now.
That's fine. I'm not changing anything.
It's going to be hard to work in 2 kobolds in a trench coat the way you're doing it now.
I know. It's a gnome and a kobold. Yeah.
Yeah. All beautiful.
Right. Are we able to find a ferry, or have they stopped running?
Yeah. It's getting to be early evening, probably close to about 5 o'clock, and the sun is slowly setting. You've got a good hour and a half, 2 hours left of light, and the ferries are slowing down for the day. They're a little bit longer in between. And the only ferry that has come back to the island as you're finishing up your spell and walking toward the docks is kind of an older, dingier vessel. The captain is an old man. He's very grizzled, has a short, well-kept beard, not like Instagram male model beard by any measure, but just like well-groomed kind of thing. He's got very short hair. And glasses. And he's just kind of sitting near the dock, just looking at the people coming on. There's a few stragglers left for the day that are waiting to board, including yourselves.
Have you got room on your boat for us, friend?
Just like looks back at the boat, looks back at you guys. You can see a couple of rows that are still empty, but a few more people walking in, and he looks back at you and says, wow! I think so. Yeah, I think this will be okay. Squints and makes a face as he looks beyond you and sees a couple more people walking down the path, and he's like, "Yeah, they may need to camp out here for the night." No, we've got room. You're good.
Good. He takes his big great sword that is again wrapped in cloth, and he takes it behind his shoulders, and he just walks onto the boat.
All I imagine when you say that is, I think it's Zabuza from Naruto. I think that's the one. Could be wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all I think about. A wrapped up greatsword.
With the actually, I don't know if his was wrapped up. Yeah, the executioner's blade. Yeah.
He said, you got what I'm putting down.
Oh, yeah.
I'm picking it up.
No, Zabuza was wrapped up. I don't think his sword was. I don't remember the shark guy's name, but that's who I'm thinking about.
Kisame and Samehata was the sword, the shark's
right.
Sword.
That's right. Up. That's what I'm thinking about.
Call your sister. She could tell you every single one of them.
Yeah, because she's a fucking nerd.
Goddamn.
Anyway,
people are hurt my feelings. Yeah.
People are getting onto the ferry, and you all hop on. Yeah.
Do I recognize anybody getting onto the ferry or the ferryman himself?
Make a perception check.
Perception check.
I'll give you advantage.
Natural 19 for perception plus 5, so 24.
24.
You want me to roll with advantage or just leave it at that?
Did you want to leave it? Go for it. Get higher.
Either way.
Yeah, that was a natural 3 on the second one.
Okay.
Kind of walking forward, you mutter out loud a little bit, like, I wonder if there's anyone. And Dara's kind of like peeling their eyes, just like looking around too. Like, maybe. No. You don't see anybody that you recognize apart from just being on the island and some of the people that you'd seen having picnics or kind of having romantic getaways over here.
Or that younger couples. Snooping on what we were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's a very kind of somber atmosphere on this ferry. Everybody's a bit tired. It seems like the people that have been here have been waiting for this ferry for over an hour. They're just kind of ready to get home at this point. Right. Get home, get some dinner started. You know, only a few hours left of their day. A couple of people are chatty. A mom and her two children. But mostly it's a fairly quiet ride.
Right. Quill, seeing how we're going to the desert soon and you're a proficient of the culinary arts, perhaps you could help with the shopping list, so to speak, or some ideas of what we could do, because I have a feeling our normal foraging won't work so well.
I'm sure I could cook something up for the lot of us. Now, muttons, beef, I don't know what would last entirely too long for a whole trip such as this, but perhaps in the, if anybody's got some extra dimensional storage or anything like that, we could store some stuff in. But if not, that's okay. We can salt meat up.
Maybe we can find a magic shop in town. I don't remember one being here, but I never looked, to be quite honest.
We could
quite a while since we found a
shop. Yeah, we could put a sum together for somebody to have the some sort of extra dimensional space so we can carry a lot of this stuff and maybe throw some, I don't know how ice works in an extra dimensional space, or perhaps salt on the steaks and other things that you want me to prepare. But there's a way we can have it last. I'm not too worried about it.
Maybe the shopkeeper could tell us more than that if we can find one.
Just no dairy products. They won't last at all. Trust me.
Speaking from experience.
Cheese.
What?
Cheese.
Cheese.
We'll cheese last lasts cheese. About forever. Yeah, don't worry about the cheese.
If we get some ancient butter. And that cheese?
Yeah.
Slap it on that ancient tortilla. We could have some...
Like, whip it up. You know, get some, like, heavy whipping cream of some kind and just whip it up and make, a pie of some kind. I can make a lot of things. Don't...
Go ahead.
Do you? Oh, no, what's that? I was curious.
I was just going to say, imagine we're getting quite a few looks from people around. Mm.
No, I'm sure they like to eat too, and he speaks up.
Do you lot normally travel this luxurious? I mean, I've never had more than bread and some cheese and some nuts, and, you know, when I travel, normally, you're talking about making pies out in the wilderness?
Well, you never had the Emerald Phoenix in your solo party, so...
It's true.
Just know, if you follow us, it's going to be... You're going to get fed pretty well. Assuming we have the time to cook and everything, of course. Otherwise, it's going to be rations on the road. So, but of course, if you don't want any, we can get some of the dog food from the what do they call it? The pens? Is that what they call it in this civilization?
I'm backing away.
Do you have a problem, Quill? With are you just being funny?
This is how I bond.
I can't tell if you're being racist or not. That's the issue.
Racist?
It oh. probably is.
I don't think you know.
That's that part.
A Garuda? Huh. What does dog food have anything to do with... this is how I bond with you.
Okay.
Okay. God damn it.
Oh my. But he really would fucking say that. Just cause he wouldn't be like, I don't fucking know.
The Emerald Phoenix has finally gone to Quill's head.
I feel like we all need to take an insight check on Quill right now.
Yeah, can I do that?
Go for it.
That's so funny, Avery.
See, Bill's face by his Bill looks traumatized.
It's just a two.
Oh man.
There's definitely something wrong with him.
Like yeah, he's racist or he's just out of touch. I don't know. Like,
he just looks like he's having a stroke.
If a Garuda has a stroke, does its beak like limp, like a mouth would like sag?
Oh my God.
Like does oh would his God. Beak go limp?
Oh no.
It's just like his one eye is blinking on that right one side. Basically.
Yeah, one eye is just drooping and he's like, someone get me some Alka-Seltzer. I mean, wait, I can't have that. I'll explode if you give me anything.
I create a character that is non-confrontational completely, and then Quill is just racist right off the bat. He creates enemies and burns bridges.
Quill just comes in hot.
Well, maybe we're confused. Just to bring it back to the main subject, I don't mean to offend you at all. I am an incredibly respectful towards other people's cultures. That's how I got into food in the first place. I liked sure. Redford's food, and maybe you can teach me something yourself. So I have no quarrel with you or your kind at all. As a matter of fact, I don't think that I've met one like you before, nor the devil man that we had met back in, you know, he followed us to Karth. But, no, we have no quarrels.
Okay, well, it's just when you make animalistic comparisons where they aren't necessarily justifiable, this is the only thing. Oh. It's demeaning, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, trust me, yeah, I get it all the time. Speaking of demeaning, so I'll just tell you, I am 8 years old, but I am an adult.
Sure.
I think an 8-year-old would say too.
That's exactly what an 8-year-old would say.
I figured we would just share this, you know, share our racial traits together. See, I may appear as a grown adult, but I am actually 8 years old.
So you're a child.
Has anybody noticed us? Has anyone noticed us?
The whole boat. Like I said, it was quiet.
Oh my God.
My head's just buried in my palm.
Orfane's just kicked back, like, just the, like, amused at this, and he was writing in his journal, and he's just stopped, and his legs are crossed, and he's just engaging in this conversation that is just absolute garbage. And he closes his journal and puts it away, and it's like,
so are you an adult or are you a child? I mean, I really don't understand what you mean.
He's a birdman child.
Wait, yes, you don't understand what I mean when I say that I'm an adult?
Well, you say you look like an adult, but you're 8. So are you... I understand that Garuda age differently, but are you a child or are you an adult?
Oh, that's okay. Ignorance can be fixed, you see. It's okay that you don't know. It's just... an 8-year-old Garuda is fully mature in... sometimes we lack a little bit of our... how do you say perhaps modern nomenclature. But as far as anatomy goes, we're fully developed in at least around the year of two upon our birth.
Well, I didn't know you guys matured that quickly, but good for you. Nice.
Pretty quick, right. But we die pretty early too, so that's the bad thing.
Yeah. You see, you'd think, being part devil, part fiend, that I would get a life a lot longer than, you know, a typical human or elf would, but nope, I just live about as long as an elf, so.
I do have a question. When do you want to kill some stuff?
I mean, I like fighting pretty quickly, you know?
See, we can find common ground. We were getting along perfectly fine yesterday.
We were. Yeah.
So perhaps when we make it to this tournament, of course, maybe we can deal out some blows to some monsters and whatnot and face adversaries in glorious combat. Does that sound fun to you?
That sounds right and well, yes. Sounds great.
That's the spirit. No dog food for you. You got a 5-star meal.
That's right. Thank you. He goes back to writing.
It went off like, are you a man or are you a child? What is a child?
Oh, like, I'm a tall child. I understand that statement.
What is a child but a pre-adult?
I am 8 and I am an adult.
I'm just mouthing I'm sorry to everyone on the boat.
They're all just looking back at you guys just like, what the fuck?
I wonder if they would even care, though. Like, would they?
There's two kids on the boat!
It's when it gets a little bit, like, loud and a little crossed wires on what is and isn't, like, culturally, you know, there. Some of the people are, like, glancing back, like, is this going to be a thing? What's going on? Like, oh, no. Old man, very shortly, it says to the group, he goes, we're going to be docking in Walaka very soon. Stay seated, if you will. And exit in an orderly fashion. Please. Just kind of looks at the group, like eyes like lock with a lot of you.
Quill just gets up hold. And... yeah, he's just forward, like...
Back to the other two. You're a couple hours ahead. Or behind at this point. however you want to say it. You dock the lavender-skinned Mazoku, leaves the ship. People begin exiting. You kind of get swept out along with all of them, kind of holding them up because you're the last to enter. You stand once more in the dockside area of Walaka, the eastern edges of the city. All around you, you can see warehouses and a couple of lumber yards from where the city is still being somewhat rebuilt after a recent attack. It looks mostly rebuilt. You can tell that this half of the city had taken heavy damages from something. Like, there are a lot of houses that have like wooden beams and construction still continuing on. But most of it seems to be newly rebuilt lumber, freshly painted areas. Mostly good.
Can we gleam what potentially it might be? Like, was it like a fire or was it like something falling out of the sky?
You could make an insight check if you want, or you could ask somebody, either way.
Hey, you gotta find it.
I will assist you if you need help.
All right.
On that one there, bud.
Okay. My computer sucks, so it's taking forever to roll. Oh. It's a 5. The other one is...
The suspense.
Second one was an 11, it looks like.
An 11.
Glancing at this eastern section of the city, the dockside area, and the damage that looks like it was sustained, you don't see any sign of burning or anything like that. It seems more like something scraped away half this whole section of the city. Like, it almost looks like somebody took their giant arm and just wiped all of these buildings at different angles.
Are there people, like, around the site?
Yeah, like I said, it's mostly all rebuilt at this point, and people are kind of going about their normal routine, shopping, milling about, going to their jobs, back and forth.
I do have this list, and I don't know how we want to do it. Do you want to, like the first three items, I'll take the last three items, we just kind of go our separate ways, or do you want to, like, stick together and grab everything?
We've got plenty of time to get... Oh, yeah. We'll be fine.
Okay. Alright, so what I've got is our goggles.
Although I do need to get some arrows, also. Okay. I will need to get some arrows to make walloping arrows. If we're going to have to do non-lethal combat, I'm going to have to, you know, refuel a little bit on that, so...
I don't have the charcoal anymore, so you're gonna have to remember that.
I think I can manage one thing, yeah.
It's good to
you get all the way to Venubia. He's like, oh, fuck!
Forgot the goggles!
Alright, so I have goggles, desert clothes, food and water, and then I also, like, had the idea of, like, the maps, and then maybe, like, animal territory maps to see what potential hazards we could be going into. Hopefully we'd find that in, like, three separate stores. It's gonna be if they have the quality or quantity we want. Or if even they have a shop for it. So do we...
Okay.
I don't want to do this. Do we just want to, like, around try to find a shop that looks like something we could use?
I think trying to find some variety of map would be a good place to start, because we're gonna have to know where we're going from the get-go. If we don't find, you know, desert clothing, then surely when we're closer to the desert there will be more places that have desert clothing. But if we don't know how to get there, then we'll never get there.
That's very true. Okay, I guess we'll try finding, like, a map store, or...
for a big cartographer neon sign.
It's that easy. Oh, my. Sure. I'm gonna say, how would you like to go about this process? Would you like to just stumble around until you find something? Would you like to ask any of the locals? Is there anything else you'd like to do? Because if you want to just stumble around, I'm going to ask for perception checks. And it's going to take some time.
Gotcha.
That's okay.
I think we should ask someone.
Yeah.
Is there anybody nearby that looks nice?
Well.
No, they all look awful. Miserable.
Kind of still heading the direction that you're going to get back to kind of the town center, you still see the Mazoku that you met on the boat. There are a pair of elves, a male and a female, that are dressed in kind of just town clothes. They look like residents here. There is a mouse folk with dark chocolate brown fur. And like a little sword that's kind of walking, standing about like 2 feet tall, that's kind of walking along the crowd as well. A lot of the people seem like they're in a hurry to get to lunch or to get, you know, just some of their shopping done while people are at work still.
I don't want to trouble the Mozico again, so I think the elves is a good idea. Or the mouse folk, partly because I wanted to make Marshall talk like a mouse folk.
It's great. Do it.
Talking like Mickey Mouse?
Oh, it's this way! Hey, Goofy! We gotta go to the clothing store!
Well, no, Mickey. We're not going there today.
Oh, God.
It makes it even worse because my family's taking a trip to Disney this next spring.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I imagine we'll go to the mouse folk then.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean you.
He, like, I am probably
super intimidating.
Oh, that's fair. I will totally approach this person first. I kind of like reach down and are they facing me? Do they see me coming?
Well, they're kind of walking the same direction as you, but they're a few steps ahead, which I mean, okay, you very quickly can outpace.
Hey, now they have very, very quick legs. I don't know.
He seems very laid back.
Run up and kind of tap him on the shoulder in a non-confrontational fashion. Like, I don't want to grab him. And like,
he looks back. He's like, no, just kidding. He looks back and he's like, glances you up and down. And you can see there's just this like deep pink scar over and under his left eye. And it's just this white eyeball. He just looks up at you and he says, can I help you?
We're looking. Are you from around here? Hopefully, he's about to be like, no.
just kind of like looks around and like looks up at you, and he's like, I guess you could say that.
Okay, well, my friend and I'll kind of like gesture back at Jinhai.
Kind of like moves so that he can see. He just kind of nods at you, that little upward nod. What can I do you for, gentlemen?
Well, we're trying to gather some supplies for a trip, and so we were hoping we could find somewhere that had like some maps or something like that. We're heading into the desert, into that fighting tournament. So we're trying to find maps as to how to get there safely and everything.
Yeah, it's always a good idea. Listen, I know a spot down the way. You know, you continue on about 3 blocks and take a left. You proceed another block and a half, and, well, X marks the spot, as they say, and it is a cartography shop, so quite literally. He says it's like completely devoid of any like emotion, no smile, no laughter. No indication that he's being silly.
Fantastic. So you said that was 4 blocks and then half a block, right?
No, 3 blocks and then half a block.
He just kind of narrows his eye and looks up at you and he says, trust your friend. I think between the two of you, he may have the smarts. Anything else you need?
Well, we're also going to try to find like some goggles and some kind of cloak kind of fabric to tie around our mouths and stuff like that.
Do you like his eyes narrow and he kind of like shakes his head like in surprise and he's like, I don't need to know what kind of sick things you and your friend are into.
No. Keep the sand out.
He's just like looks at you, his mouth just slightly open. He's like, right. As I said, if you're looking for any kind of clothing, there's the raiments. It's down on second.
You find it pretty easy. It's got a large spool of thread as a sign with a needle. It shouldn't be too hard to find, even for you.
Yep, I'm sure we can figure it out from here, then.
Sure. Just kind of looks at you, and he does like a half bow. Just pats the hilt of his tiny sword.
But she kind of like tugs his cloak a little bit. And he's like, thank you kindly.
He nods and he's like, that's my kind of farewell. And sniffs real loud and starts walking off.
This Arthur Morgan?
Please tell me one of his swarm goes up his nose.
No, if it was Arthur Morgan as a mouse folk, he'd be like, you're all right, boy. Take a left down the avenue. Oh, Jesus.
Just starts calling. I believe that was quietly. Arthur Squelly.
Well, one more time. What?
What?
Just like that.
All right, well, let's head to the map shop, then the cartography shop that was three blocks down and then a left.
No, now it's two it's two blocks down because we've been walking.
It takes a little bit. You find it. It's literally called a spot.
A spot.
It's called a spot. I know a spot. It's called a spot. And it has the logo is like a map with an X on it and then like a little trail that leads away from it. Very, very shady looking shop. Just before you even get to the front of it, it's in an alleyway. It's kind of like, oh God, it's kind of like being in like Chinatown or Koreatown late at night and like all the storefront businesses have like closed and put the bars up. But not just the bars, they have those like little metal shelves that go up as well. So it's like hard to tell what anything really is at night. It's kind of like that. Like it's got this like large wooden piece that kind of fits over where the window was and then some iron bars above that. And then just like a really dark colored door, like just this gray, the dark gray door kind of inset in a little alcove. It just looks like a really shady fucking place.
Well, this is the spot.
Well, it's a spot. Well, I handled the mouse folk, so I'll let you head in first here.
Is the door unlocked?
Yeah.
All right. Am I able to fit through the door?
Yeah, it's okay. pretty decently sized.
Okay.
It's not like a mouse folk door.
Got a spell for that.
Imagine we're in like Zootopia or something. And like Clution has got to like find a way to get to a secondary door because they have all small doors, and then A spot's probably like freaking gnomes or something, so they have like three different size doors.
Gotta accommodate for everyone, yeah.
The door is it can fit you, and it opens inward. Immediately, you're hit with the smell of incense and just this kind of like cloudy, foggy interior. It's very dim lighting. The entranceway is almost devoid of anything. It's just like an open, empty space. And then a little bit farther back, like maybe a good 10 feet from the entrance, you can see what appear to be just long rows of scroll cases. So like almost like a wine rack. You just stick your scrolls in there. And they're all kind of sealed in different cases. And there's a counter in the back and a fairly tall for a goblin, green skin, little wisps of hair. He's wearing just a little dark black and white top hat and a nice suit. He sees you come in. He's got this like little monocle on. And he's like, well, welcome to my shop. What can I do you for? He's just like adopting the monocle, like closer and farther from his face, trying to get a good look at you as you walk in.
Hello. We're looking to by some maps of Venubia. We plan on taking a trip there, and we just want to make sure we get there safely.
You see him nodding, like, very vehemently, and as he does, his top hat kind of bounces a little bit. he kind of, like, looks down to the left and looks down to the right, and he's like,
yes, yes! We've got all kinds of maps for Venubia. At least one.
Well, we might need more than just one, I'm not sure, but...
How big do you want it?
Big.
How big? You're a big man. Need a big map? Small map?
Say medium map. Maybe medium. Like 3 foot by 3 foot.
You see him kind of like grind his teeth a little bit with his mouth open, and you see like long kind of sharp fangs that have been filed down a bit, and he's like,
medium, he says. Medium. Can you believe that?
Kind of like shouting backward to nobody. And he kind of he exits so like he steps off of what you imagine must be a step stool, because he takes a step back and he just shrinks like a good foot, and then he walks around the counter, lifts up the thing, goes out to one of the scroll cases and starts like thumbing through. You can see they're like covered in thick dust. It really does not seem like this is a popular place. He's looking through his shelves, and he pulls one case out, and he's kind of like smudging the dust with his long, gnarled finger. He's like, yeah.
Venubia, yes, yes, size M. That's medium, yep.
And then I also have another question. I don't know if this would pertain to you, but would you have, like...
Me?
I don't know. Well, this is kind of a weird question. Would you have...
I'm not fond of weird.
Would you have, say, like, animal territory maps? To say, like, if we were to go through a section, we would know, like, oh, we're going into sand wolf territory. That way we know, like, what the do's and don'ts for while we're in that section.
See, I'm just stroking his chin, like, violently as he's thinking, and he's like, the speed is just increasing every second. He's like,
Animals, you say? Territories. Yes. Well, on one of the Venubian maps.
He kind of like opens a couple scrolls and pulls one out, and you can see this like finely printed map. Very good quality, just from the peak that you can see. He pulls it out and he's kind of like thumbing and looking through it, and he's like, yes. Scratches his face again and says,
this has territories of the different wandering tribes. Could be useful. I don't think we have anything!
And he's like, he turns and screams again.
Like what you want. Mm-hmm. Of course, the first time we have a customer in... And we can't even accommodate. This is a pickle. Well,
he just kind of slams it closed, just kind of taps it against his head and says,
Venubia map with territories and the wandering clans.
Could I see it for a second?
His eyes just like, his face doesn't move, but his eyes kind of like look down to the right, then look down to the left, and he's like, okay.
Must not have heard what I said about weird.
He, like, opens it up and pulls it out, and he's like, holds it up to you. Very fine detail. You can see, like, little dotted paths and, like, circled bits on the map that are presumably these different encampments of the Wandering Tribes.
Do they share, like, any names for the tribes?
Kind of looking through... And you can't make out from this lighting any of the names of the actual tribes. You do see, briefly as it's unfurled, the Kosik Desert kind of written in large lettering to the side.
Yeah, it looks very well made, I must say. I think we'll take these two maps. How much are they?
He like looks down and he starts counting on his fingers. 1, 2, 7, 5.
13!
Yes, 13. 13. 13. Silver.
Oh.
He's like doing that thing where you're almost like, you know, like when you're talking to a child, you're doing that like slight head bob and your eyes are wide and you're like, uh-huh. That's what he's doing to you right now. He's like, 13. Silver.
Yes, that's what I said.
Holds a hand 13. Out. Holds a hand out.
yeah, by all means. And I'll pull out 13 silver pieces out of my pouch and put it in his hand while also reaching for the maps.
As you put it in his hand again, he like glances behind him really like skittishly and looks up at you again. And he says,
1, 7, 6, 13, all here, okay. Oh! Jeez, you can't even get a moment of quiet. Always somebody nitpicking in the background.
Make a perception check to see if there's something actually there.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do also.
Okay. Make a perception check.
Who's his warlock patron, Marshall?
Exactly.
You'll find out at the Baroka Muda.
Right. I hope you did good, Jackson.
Yeah, I did pretty good.
4.
22.
As far as you can tell, you don't hear anyone else in this shop other than the three of you. And you can't see anybody in the back behind the counter where he keeps looking. Seems to be the only person running the show. You get the feeling that maybe he's not all there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not even like wafts of like incense like moving in the back.
Not that you can tell, no.
Okay. Well, thank you, kind sir. This is very, very well made. I will be using these in the future quite soon, so I humbly thank you.
His eyes narrow in suspicion, and he says, Thank me. Thank me. Okay. Have a good day. Tell your friends about a spot.
We need the customers.
He like glances back again.
Absolutely will. As I'm like slowly like backing towards the entrance.
He like turns to Clushin and just like briefly their eyes lock and he says, "Your friend is wizard."
I only just met him.
I like you. Yes, go. Get out of my shop. Leave.
Yeah, of course. Be well, and I'm going to leave also.
Don't tell me to be well. He, like, screams back. He's like, who's going to help me?
This is just kind wishes.
Oh, my God.
Did he seem unwell? Like,
he seems definitely unwell.
He seems like he's not all there.
Manic?
He seems to be pretty... It was hard to tell for you guys, like, fully, but he seemed to be quite old.
As I leave, not knowing if it's going to help or not, I'm going to cast Healing Spirit and put, like, just, like, a healing little, like, gnat that's going to land on his shoulder and try to help make him better.
As you're leaving, you just hear him say, who? And then as you turn around, you just know that that gnat has been eaten. You just connected to your swarm, you just know that it's been eaten.
I think we gotta get out of here, man.
All right, close! Yay!
Oh, it can't be any worse than that was. Oh my goodness.
Do not say that.
Due to the holidays and various illnesses that have befallen us, this episode will be split in half. Join us next week for our second edition of this shopping extravaganza.